98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
2 years ago, the Cardinals were shut out by the Rams, dominated, beaten by 33 points, and our football team responded with a road win at San Francisco behind their backup quarterback. The circumstances this year are obviously different, but there are a lot of Cardinal fans who are going to go to State Farm Stadium on Sunday with the intention of booing Sam Bradford and pushing for the promotion of Josh Rosen. Baker Mayfield's performance has a lot to do with that. If Mayfield can impact a huddle and a team and electrify a crowd like that, so can Josh Rosen. And I'm no longer going to spend another moment listening to a front office executive tell me that great young quarterbacks have to be groomed slowly, learning at the hands of established veterans. No, they don't. That's what makes them great. The big fear, of course, is that Rosen isn't as good as Mayfield and that he can't duplicate the performance that just lifted the city of Cleveland. But the real fear should be that the Cardinals aren't nearly as good as the Browns, condemning a hotshot rookie to inevitable failure. And then, what do we all do in that case? Cheer for Mike Glennon? That's why Sunday is going to feel more like a gallows trial than a football game, where you don't know what you're going to see from the team, and you don't know what you're going to hear from those in attendance. All right, off we go. Back half of the radio program, the greatest that's ever been. Something like that. We are live today. Open invitation for all the listeners on the southeast side of the valley. Yes. Did I get that right? We are in Chandler. We are at the corner of Ocotillo and Gilbert, a grand opening to the AT&T store. Beautiful new strip mall here. We're broadcasting until 2 o'clock. We've got stuff to give away. Lots of Diamondbacks Rockies tickets.
Yes.
The team could use your free support.
Absolutely. Can you pitch?
Yeah, can you? Right, exactly.
Can you pitch in a late
situation?
Can
you suit up? Can you suit up? So come on down and join us. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, they're unveiling the new iPhone XS, Samsung Note. So if you want to get more from your wireless plans and devices, this is definitely the place to be. And this is the day to do it here at the grand opening of the newest AT&T store in Chandler. You know what I didn't realize? Because I'm not really an East Valley guy, Bick.
Yeah.
Chandler is geographically enormous.
It is enormous. Yes, it is.
It is so big.
It's amazing because my band rehearses out here in this area, and I always say, man, it takes me a long time to get here. And I look on the map, and I think I'm close from Fountain Hills.
Yeah, you're like, I only have to drive 5 inches.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
I stole that from Dumb and Dumber.
No, did you really? There are a lot of people, by the way, who were chiming in on what comedian that I should have done with Rodney
right.
Dangerfield. Did you see any of that? See, Jared obviously
I didn't actually see that thread. I know we were talking about it yesterday off the air.
So, yeah, I thought I'd try this. I like rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something. Okay, fine. I'm sick of following my dreams, you know? I'm just going to ask them where they're going and catch up with them later. Okay? Hey, I don't have a girlfriend. I just know a girl who'd be really mad if she heard me say that. I saw this wino who was eating grapes. It's like, dude, you have to wait.
Can I do my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke?
I love Mitch Hedberg.
But as Mitch Hedberg?
Okay, yes, please do.
Here's my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke. Wearing a turtleneck is like getting choked by a really weak guy all day long.
Vinny has told this story before. Can you just take a second? Since so many people did come out and throw out Mitch Hedberg there, you saw him really almost at rock bottom. I mean,
no, it was rock
it
bottom.
It was rock bottom.
He was dead 6 months later. He had the famous meltdown on stage at Celebrity Theater, and I was, I don't know what the word, unlucky enough to be there. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen. He had been on my radio show that morning, went to the show that night. I was married at the time, and my wife and I were just looking at each other like, what are we watching? You know, a strung-out comedian on a rotating stage, just asking for people to throw medication up on the stage, and he was on his hands and knees and just shoveling pills into his mouth.
Oh,
and
my God.
So talking about his drug use, and you know, it was very sad. And I said on the radio the next day that if somebody in his life doesn't step up and do something, he's going to be gone soon.
And he was.
That's exactly what happened. But you know, not to be depressing about it, he is one of the funniest comedians of all time.
Yeah, I love him. Or I loved him. Yeah, his delivery, just his observations, just funny. Funny stuff. I can't believe he asked for pharmaceuticals and stuff, and people obliged.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what... They might have been throwing Tylenol for all I know, but...
Oh, here, dude. Here's some Oxy. Here you go. Here's some Valium.
It was strange. Rod, it turns out if the material's good, you can deliver it however you want, and it'll still be funny.
That's true.
In most cases.
Right. I like joke about rice. If you want 2,000 of something. It's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
The Cardinals offense, under the microscope, you're kind of looking into the crystal ball and seeing what fan behavior could be like if the struggles continue.
Yes.
I don't think there's any – you can be hopeful that there's going to be improvement, and hopeful is the key word, because nothing indicates it right now that the Cardinals are capable of doing anything on offense. I was looking at this, Bick, just their list of plays this year. Not just big plays. They've only had two plays over 20 yards, both passes in the Washington game to Larry Fitzgerald when they were down 3 touchdowns, two passes that went for 27 yards. In games, they haven't had a lead yet. So in games that have been scoreless so far this season, the Cardinals have 4 plays of 10 or more yards.
That's crazy.
In the Washington game, David Johnson had an 11-yard run. In the Rams game, Sam Bradford had an 11-yard pass to Christian Kirk. Washington, David Johnson had a 10-yard run. And in the Rams game, Bradford to Christian Kirk for 10 yards. That's it. When the game has been in the balance and they're not chasing, they're not playing from behind, that's been the aptitude of the Cardinals offense, which is to say...
Or the ineptitude.
Ineptitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Holy smokes.
That's depressing.
Holy smokes.
So the question remains, if it centers around the quarterback position, nobody with a straight face, not even Sam Bradford himself, can sit back and say that he's played well.
No.
He hasn't. The Cleveland example is out there now. Highly drafted quarterback who was holding a clipboard. In the Cleveland example, however, it was an injury that knocked Tyrod Taylor out of the game with a concussion. Baker Mayfield comes in, leads the Browns to their first win in 635 days. It was a pretty cool scene to see people filming the beer fridges opening up.
Oh, is that outstanding?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that was really, really cool.
All right, so the question is out there about Josh Rosen. I know Cardinal fans more than ever want to see Josh Rosen because, if nothing else, it just is something different from what they've seen from Sam Bradford. The offensive coordinator of the Cardinals, Mike McCoy, was asked, okay, if Rosen does get the call, is he ready to go?
I think everybody's ready to play. Everyone's, you always talk to the players, the whole entire group, the entire team. They're all good to go.
So he didn't single out Josh Rosen, and it kind of dampens the enthusiasm when he says yes, when he says, oh, they're all ready to go. Again, you've scored 6 points in 2 games, so how ready actually are they?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think anymore, man. I'm really hoping that the situation that you described as being possible doesn't happen on Sunday, because I honestly don't want to do another week of radio where we're just bringing up depressing offensive statistics
asking
a question about when it's going to change.
I know.
And having that inherent doubt in what's gone on so far in the Steve Wilks regime. I don't want another week of that.
I'm sure. Yeah, look, I don't either. How do you see this game playing out in your mind's eye? Knowing you know about the Bears' defense, they have 10 sacks in the first 2 games, so they know how to get to the quarterback. You're dealing with a quarterback now who's going to have to teach himself to calm down and keep his eyes downfield and slow down and be patient and be the quarterback he has been at times in the past. Is this all going to work? Are they going to be able to get a first down? Will they have a complement of plays now that the Bears aren't going to be ready for? Because I'll tell you what, every other play that they've run this season, the opponent's been ready for it.
Yeah.
There's been no element of surprise whatsoever, and this has been one of the frustrating things to me. I had the same problem with Bruce Arians' offense at the middle of last year going through the end of the season, and that is the team struggled to move the chains. And this was an offense that once lit up the league. When you can't break a play that exploits a matchup on the field that is in your favor, that means either you have an idiotic coaching staff, or your talent level is hopelessly inferior. Because the NFL, as everybody on this show has ever come out and told us, has become a league of matchups, exploiting the matchup on the line of scrimmage. Get a back on a linebacker, get a wide receiver, whatever it is. Get a tight end on an undersized safety, whatever it is. You take your guy and you put him on that team's weakest guy and you put him in space and boom, easy play, easy play, easy play. We saw it in week one from Jay Gruden against the Cardinals. We certainly saw it in week two from Sean McVay and the Rams against the Cardinals. We have not seen one of those. I've seen one of those plays. It was a 15-yard pass to Larry Fitzgerald who began backpedaling after he caught it, expecting to get crushed, because that's the way the Cardinals' offense has been operating all season long, in traffic with no separation anywhere. That's the only play that I've seen. And to the contrary, I've seen probably 30 of them from the teams the Cardinals are playing. So are the people who are scheming this stuff that bad, or are there no mismatches to exploit in your favor? Because that last one, that's pretty frightening.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think you could build that case really for any NFL team. And talent-wise, the Cardinals, if you look at their roster on paper, you wouldn't say this team's incapable of getting a first down. Buffalo, you could maybe make that claim, that personnel-wise, they're just not up to NFL standards. So it's got to be scheming. Maybe it's players that do have the capability of winning one-on-one matchups just simply not doing it right now. You asked a little bit ago, how do I see this game shaking out? There has to be improvement, obviously, and I think there will be improvement, but I think most of it will be on the defensive side of the ball. Because they'll never say this, but I think the mindset after what has transpired the first 2 weeks, Bick, from the defense and the defensive players and coaches might be, it's up to us to do something because this offense is not going to help us win games.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago's defense is good. Their offense is a work in progress, too. I think the Bears win this game. I think it's going to be really low scoring. I think it's going to be like a 13-7 game, honestly.
Yeah.
And I would take that performance from the defense compared to what we've seen. But
you're not going to get that.
I just don't. I'll believe the Cardinals' offense is better when I see it be better. I can't wrap my mind around that concept because that's how bad and hard to watch they've been.
So, let's take what you just said and extrapolate it. And so instead of waiting for the offense to sustain drives and flip the entire narrative of the season, how about the Cardinal defense coming up with something so good and stout that it takes the pressure off the offense, that it's the Bears doing the three and outs, that it's the Bears who are having a hard time moving the football? Can you see that kind of scenario after what we've seen from the Cardinal defense in the first couple of weeks? That, to me, is a much trickier question. Because now you're asking yourself, what has been the effect of fatigue on the Cardinals' defense? What has been the effect of time of possession and plays run and not being able to get off the field on third down? What does it all mean in the grand scheme of that? This Bears offense, this Bears team in general, has been better than expected this year. They could have, should have beaten Green Bay in the opener on the road, okay? They were dominating that team for the first half. They came back with a pretty thorough win against Seattle, but they let the Seahawks stick around. Their offense is good. They've got a good complement of backs. Tariq Cohen is a terrific player. I like Mitchell Trubisky, but they haven't put it all together. They've not been like the Rams. They don't blow up on people. They're better than they've been, but they're not. They haven't been combustible. And so maybe the Cardinal defense can do something here.
Well, this is the first opportunity the Cardinals defense has had to exploit an opposing quarterback.
There you go. It's a good way of putting it.
Alex Smith does what Alex Smith does, and he did it to a really, really high level against the Cardinals with little resistance. Jared Goff is up and coming as one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and he had a great game. I think this is the first time on their schedule where the Cardinals defense can say, Mitchell Trubisky, unproven. We can maybe rattle this kid a little bit and force him into some mistakes and maybe get back to what we saw this defense kind of build its reputation on in the preseason. And that's not when you want to build your reputation, I realize, but they were all about forcing turnovers and creating havoc defensively. This is really the first opportunity they've had to do that.
Yeah, and look, you talk about check down offenses. Mitchell Trubisky against the Seahawks last week, he completed 25 passes for 200 yards. That's not great. That's 8 yards a throw.
double what the Cardinals did.
I know. I know that. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson's numbers, 22 of 36 for 226, not bad, but he was sacked six times. So what the Bears do real well is pressure the quarterback. But that always opens up opportunities for quarterbacks to make plays. One of the many things that I always loved about Kurt Warner is you think about quarterbacks who play with fear and how unbecoming it is. And we've seen a lot of them. Matt Leinart to what we're seeing, I think, from Sam Bradford so far this year. The quarterbacks who say, bring it on, blitz me, because you do that and I'm gashing you. You might hit me, but your guy's going to be chasing that wide receiver 25 yards down the field. See what I'm saying? And so that to me, a defense that generates pressure, fabricates pressure through blitzing and bringing linebackers, you can gash them. If you're playing a team that generates a pass rush with four guys, then there's nothing you can do. Then you might as well just punt on third down like we talked about.
Yeah, and we've gone down that road too about the protection, the pass protection for the Cardinals offensive line. It hasn't been horrible. And certainly if they've been in a situation where they have to throw the ball more than they would like.
Yep.
Then it goes back to Sam Bradford getting rid of the ball very quickly. And I've heard Gambo talking about it and him watching game film, maybe the All-22 tape, of example after example of wide-open receivers that Sam Bradford's just not seeing because he's delivering the ball maybe to his first read too often. Khalil Mack is he's a nightmare to match up with.
He is.
There's no doubt about it. And he's only playing limited snaps right now as he learns that defense, but he's got the individual talent. Going back to that whole point, can you win your individual matchup? Yes, he's going to win a lot of individual matchups. He's going to make plays. But I don't feel horrible about the Cardinals' pass protection.
No, I don't either. I don't. Andre Smith officially ruled out. John Wetzel in. News out of camp, John Wetzel will be primary guy against Khalil Mack.
Okay, never mind. Take back what I just said.
This just came out. I mean, this literally just came out of camp.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I ever thought Andre Smith was all that good. I mean, let me rephrase that. I like the way the offensive line performed collectively in training camp. If my jury was out on any members of that offensive line, it wasn't DJ Humphreys. It certainly wasn't Mike Iupati. Justin Pugh, I really believed in and bought into. Mason Cole, I think, has been excellent as a sub-center. Andre Smith was the guy that I'm just like, okay, how good is this guy?
Okay,
so we'll see.
But just by virtue of the depth chart, John Wetzel is a downgrade.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So you're right. So that's going to hurt them a little bit. I just wonder how confident this coaching staff can be because they know how imperative it is that their offense gets off to a good start. How are they going to do that? What kind of plays are they going to call? You can't just hand off the middle first two plays of the game and then face third and seven. That'd be the last thing you want to do.
But I don't think you can come out and change your DNA, though, either and take a seven-step drop and sling the ball 40 yards down the field.
No, you can't.
Because if you go, it doesn't matter how you go three and out. If you go three and out on that first drive, it's setting the tone for what is expected by the crowd the whole time.
Yeah. No, I know. That's exactly right. And do you agree with me that some fans are going to show up at that game with the intentions of just showering Sam Bradford with vitriol the first incompletion he throws or the first series that ends in a punt? I do.
Yeah, and big picture, and I hate to even go down this road, but Sam Bradford could find himself in that whole group of athletes that people break out in rashes in Phoenix when you say their names.
Oh, who's in that group right now?
You don't want me to do it as Gambo, do you?
No, I do. Matt Leinart.
Eric Burns.
Eric Burns.
Ross Ortiz. Alex Avila.
Give him a lollipop. I'm so fascinated, and you're going to be coming back from Seattle. You're going to have a much different fan experience than Cardinal fans are going to have on Sunday. But you might be like them, and that is among enemy fans the whole afternoon. What are you wearing, by the way?
Oh, right now I'm wearing white.
No, what cologne you're wearing? You smell fabulous.
I don't know what I'm wearing.
To the game tomorrow.
I'm wearing something warm.
Like okay.
A hoodie.
So, right, all right. So you're not going in any kind of sports apparel?
No.
Good.
I'll root for the Sun Devils, but I don't
want to
make a spectacle of myself.
Okay. Well, how do you root for them without making a spectacle of yourself?
Internally.
Right. Sending them telepathic vibes. I'm clapping for you.
That's where he keeps all his emotions.
Can't hear me.
We've talked so many times on the air after NFL Sundays mostly about, man, you see that fight at such and such a ballpark this weekend? Those fans are really going at it. If you're not loud and obnoxious and demonstrative, you're probably going to be in okay shape going to an opposing stadium. I'm not.
What do you think they're going to do in Washington? Those guys are gooned up on the wacky tobacco. Come on,
gooned up on the wacky tobacco. Did you see what Lincoln Riley tweeted out to Baker Mayfield? It's fabulous. Hey, bud, bet they forgive you for planting the flag now.
That is.
Lincoln Riley has lost two games at Nebraska.
There's a shaved ice truck outside.
Lincoln, look, the Cardinals discussion is attached to the Baker Mayfield discussion. I'm not getting too far off the rails.
Okay. I'll let you have that one.
Okay. But Lincoln Riley would be off the rails, and it's been forever since the Nebraska head coach went 0-2.
Yes.
It's like since like 57, something like that.
Lincoln Riley.
Where's the Nebraska thing come in?
Lincoln is in Nebraska. Is that the connection?
Lincoln Riley's the head coach of Oklahoma.
No. I'm sorry. I was trying to get over to the new head coach at Nebraska.
Oh, Scott Frost.
Scott Frost, yeah. Yes.
No, I think you said the name Lincoln, and you thought Lincoln, Nebraska. Is that what happened?
Yes, that might have been what happened. That might have been what happened. But if I can't finish this, Scott Frost and everything that he did going into Nebraska is now dealing with this. He's kind of dealing with what Cardinal fans are dealing with in a different way. 0-2 and like what?
They got more than a touchdown, though.
Yeah, that's true. They do. Sorry about that. Yes, I deserve to be called out for that malfeasance, that butchery. So I'm telling you, the scene at State Farm Stadium on Sunday is going to be.
Well, you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure you'll have the monitor on that because it will be interesting. And I think you are on to something. An unfortunate trend if Sam Bradford doesn't come out and basically do a complete 180 and play like he's capable of playing and not like he's played.
Yep.
He's going to be treated pretty poorly by the crowd.
I know. And Sam Bradford's a really nice guy, and you would hate to see him become that guy you just mentioned. The guy who just makes you kind of break out in hives when you mention his name in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case in any of his prior NFL stops. Certainly, Rams fans are probably not enamored of Sam Bradford because he was a first overall pick and he didn't work out for them. In Philadelphia, he was okay. He was there a short time. Minnesota, they had a collection of quarterbacks, and they've kind of turned it into a quarterback that they really wanted. So,
right.
I don't think that's been the case in his career. He's been a disappointment, certainly, but nowhere close to as bad as he's been for the first two. I mean, that has to be his worst back-to-back games as a pro quarterback.
There's no doubt about it. I don't know how you could argue anything to the contrary. And for everybody to kind of finger him as the primary reason why puts another backdrop to this thing, because by doing that, that only intensifies the anger going to be showered on Sam Bradford. Fans might not go there with the intention of booing them like Cleveland fans did to Rod Taylor last night. But the fact that it's all kind of funneled down onto Sam Bradford, that he's the guy that's breaking down before anyone else, that's only going to amplify it. So,
but he can control that as a player, too.
Yep,
play
you're
better.
Right. You're right. It's true.
If you're going to the game to boo Sam Bradford and he's playing well,
yeah,
then you're just doing it wrong. You're rooting for the guys on your team, not for the individual.
Well, I understand
people want to see Josh Rosen,
no.
But if Sam Bradford's playing well, you ride it out.
Yep.
Come watch the ASU-Washington game with Arizona Sports tomorrow. Cold beers and cheeseburgers. Scottsdale Road, just south of the 101 in North Scottsdale. We'll be giving away ASU gear, tickets to the Oregon State game, and other great prizes from Coors Light. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. It's Football Friday. It's Bickley and Murata. We're live at the grand opening of the new AT&T store in Chandler, 4145 South Gilbert Road at the corner of Gilbert and Ocotillo. Still got some Diamondbacks tickets to give away, and we'll be out here till 2 on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Call Friday with Bickley and Murata. Powered by Ram Trucks. Built to serve. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
Full admission.
Yeah.
It is depressing talking about this football team right now. We were talking about Mitch Hedberg earlier.
We were.
JJ just tweeted me one of his favorite Mitch Hedberg jokes. This is a good one. I went to a pizzeria and I ordered a slice of pizza. The dude gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza had been a pie chart for what would you do with $1 million if you found it, this dude gave me the donate it to charity slice. I'd like to exchange this for the keep it.
Wow. That's good. I like that. I like when he goes, hey, my favorite candy bar is a Kit Kat unless I'm with four or more people. You know? Okay, fine.
Why are you still doing the Rodney Dangerfield thing?
I can't do Mitch Hedberg.
My two favorite Mitch Hedberg jokes are, my friend asked if I wanted a frozen banana. I didn't, but I wanted, I said no, but I want a regular banana later, so yeah.
So, yeah.
And I don't like tennis because no matter how good I get, I will never be as good as a wall.
That's right.
Pretty good delivery there, too, Jarrett.
Except for when I screwed up the first joke. But yeah.
Is a hippopotamus really a hippopotamus or just a really cool opotamus? I think we just turned this into a Hedberg Friday.
I'm into that.
Now, a lot of people compare him to Stephen Wright. Do you like him as well?
Yes, but similar styles of jokes, but way different delivery. Stephen Wright is the most deadpan. You know who Stephen Wright is, right?
Yeah, I do.
I bought some powdered water. I didn't know what to add.
Wow. That's pretty
good. I loved Stephen Wright when I was a kid.
I saw a sign that said,
your favorite Mitch Hedberg jokes. Tweet us at Bickley.
Yes.
What were you going to say, Jarrett?
I was going to do a Stephen Wright joke. I saw a sign that said, next rest stop, 2 miles. I said, wow, that's huge. People must get really tired around here.
Back to business. The Arizona Diamondbacks at it tonight after an off day. Chase Field, they welcome in the Colorado Rockies, which about a month ago, Bick, if you looked at this stretch starting tonight against the Rockies, Diamondbacks fans would have had it circled, highlighted, starred, whatever, on a sheet of paper. This is the most important stretch of the season. Unfortunately, the way things have gone for the Diamondbacks, it looks like not even the beginning of the end, but kind of the middle of the end. Because now they find themselves 6 games out of first place. They're not playing good baseball. Yes, people are happy that the Diamondbacks won a game against the Cubs to salvage the final game of that series, but there's even some consternation caused by the way they did it, by resting their 4 best players and playing minor leaguers for the most part. And that was the way they broke out of their offensive slump. 9 runs, 12 hits. Mark Grace was on with Doug and Wolf yesterday. He was joking around. He's like, you're damn right I would put that same lineup out there again.
He did.
I don't know if Torey Lovello could do that even if he wanted to, because then you start to get into the hurt feelings category. I know he did it to send a message. He said the starters looked tired. But after an off day, if you come back with that same lineup again.
No, he's not good. He can't do that.
No.
Because if you're doing it to send a message, the message has been sent.
Yeah.
You send that out there now, you're saying that that lineup has a better chance to win than Pollock, Goldschmidt, Peralta, Escobar, and that would be lunacy. Mm-hmm. It worked one night. It's not going to work again. And that's kind of just, to me, the genius of the move in the first place. Rolled the dice on the perfect time. Somebody must have thought, you know what? We'll catch the Cubs in a very sleepy state of apathy. And it's, you know, this will be the perfect time to run something like this and get a message across. And it worked. So, but here's the thing that I keep getting hung up on, Vinny. When Torey Lovello says he wants more energy, and he drew that parallel that he talked about with kids and the way they looked. I mean, you know, they come home from school and, you know, they bombed a test. You see that look. I've seen a lot of those looks in my players' eyes, and I wanted them to sit down and think about that and see the game from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Who exactly are you speaking to? My gut feeling would be, I think the Paul Goldschmidt soundbite is central to all of this. I think David Peralta's joyful attitude, while a great asset to have, David Peralta, he made us both kind of sit back in our chairs when he said that thing about J.D. Martinez. We don't have J.D. Martinez, so what? Mm-hmm. So what? It sounded like an act of defiance until you see the way David is, and David's just a happy-go-lucky guy, and no one's going to ruin his vibe. Not even losing a baseball game 9-1 or 6, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, the attitude back then, and that was in spring training when we had that discussion with David Peralta, was, hey, we're not going to cancel the season because we didn't get J.D. Martinez, a guy we had for half a season
right.
back. And I appreciated that at the time. And, you know, David Peralta, for all the fans, and there's a lot of them, Bick, that are wondering about the fight of this team and the fire of this team. When things got tough, what did they do? Well, they kind of turtled as a team. And who were the leaders on that team that were supposed to pull it out? I don't point a finger at David Peralta in that at all. I think he's one of those guys that has the consistent fire that is commensurate with his production.
Okay.
Steven Souza Jr. is a really, really fiery guy.
Lots of fire.
And it
more
could be
fire
a lot,
than talent.
It could be a lot more effective had he had a better year.
Right.
He had the injury problems. Since he's been back, he's had some really good moments, certainly, defensively and offensively, but the production just hasn't been there. They haven't been able to count on him in a big way.
No, that's a very good point. So who are they talking about? Were they talking about Paul Goldschmidt, and was this sort of like the beginning of the end? And will this be Goldie's last stand in Arizona before a number of things begin to fall? Paul Goldschmidt had that great MVP moment against the Braves on a Friday night in the ninth inning. Diamondbacks down to their last strike, and he hits the thing into the seats, ties the game. Unfortunately, Brad Boxberger coughed up the game in the very next frame, and that was it. Since that day, September 6th, folks, Paul Goldschmidt has one RBI. His batting average hasn't plummeted. He's still hanging around 298, 300, but he's not hitting anything with authority, and he's not driving in runs, and he's not acting like an MVP. Now, same thing's going on in Colorado, where if you picked up the Denver Post this morning, there's a headline, what's wrong with Nolan Arenado? Is he hurt or is he choking? Same questions we were asking about Paul Goldschmidt last year.
Yeah, that was Mark Kisla's column, and I have an answer for Mark Kisla. Calm down. He's coming to Arizona. He's going to hit 4 home runs.
Right, exactly. Calm down, Mark. Everything is going to fix itself magically.
Yeah, but you talked about that stint, that stretch in early September with the Braves. Diamondbacks lost 3 of those 4. You mentioned Goldie's last RBI or last big moment of the season happened in that series. The quote by Paul Goldschmidt that I think people are going to be talking about for a long time happened in that Saturday game. 5-4 loss, a 10-inning loss. Even after that loss, they were still 2.5 games out of first place. It was still reachable. That was one of those rip your heart, you're still beating heart out of your chest,
yep,
and stomp on it in front of you kind of losses.
Yep.
And that's when he said, oh, this is...
No, that was just a great ball game to depart of.
Yeah. And
the whole thing
got
weirder from there.
That was fun. That's how you should play.
It was a strange response.
Well, that was an amazing ball game.
Are you done, Jarrett?
It really was just so weird, and I've gone back to it a million times, Vinny, and I wonder, does Paul Goldschmidt, because he's a very reluctant leader, when Paul Goldschmidt says to himself, the media is about to walk in that clubhouse door, they're going to ask me how frustrated are we, the best way I can answer this is to act like I'm not frustrated at all. Maybe his intention was that, and his delivery was so bad, he came off as not being upset at all by a terrible, terrible defeat. I don't know, man.
Like, was he being sarcastic?
Know.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the exact opposite. I'm saying that he was being sincere about trying to say, we're not frustrated. I'm not frustrated. I'm not frustrated, when everybody wanted to hear the exact opposite. I think it was Paul Goldschmidt maybe trying to help and hurting himself in the process. It's a stretch, but I just cannot understand what that quote, and nobody did, and that is why I bring up Gracie. Gracie was unbelievable on the radio yesterday on a lot of different topics. What he had to say about Paul Goldschmidt was one of the most poignant things I've heard in a long, long time.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I gotta go back and listen to it, but we played some of those Gracie sound bites yesterday. He was outstanding, and it might be a problem when a guy who hasn't played in a while and is hosting a pre- and post-game show is showing more fire and frustration about the situation that the team is in than the guys that are in the clubhouse.
That's the problem.
All right. Coming up, I wanted to let you know, join Burns and Gambo starting at 2 p.m. live from Albertsons on 83rd Avenue in Deer Valley in Peoria. They're going to be giving away tickets to upcoming games, plus telling you how to win some incredible prizes through Safeway and Albertsons' Score Great Deals promotion this football season. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for more details. Coming up, we say goodbye to one of our own today, Andy Greenberg's last day. We'll send him out in
one
style.
One of our own?
Yeah.
One of Seattle's own.
He's on our show. We'll send him out in style. An impromptu roast. No. It's coming up next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. What will the be the result of the Cardinals game against the Bears? Your choices, Cards win by 10 points or less, Cards win by 10 or more, Cards lose by 10 or more, or Cards lose by 10 or less?
Cards lose by 10 or less.
That's what I would go with as well. 13-7 was my prediction. Ooh, it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, it's
41% of our respondents, Bick, have said Cardinals will win by more than 10. To win by more than 10, you have to score at least 10.
Yes, right.
Or actually 11 in this case.
And how's that going to happen?
Defensive touchdown?
Let's find out.
Maybe.
Andre Smith out for the Cardinals on the offensive line. Another big sub game for John Wetzel.
Yes.
You know that for a fact.
Olsen Pierre will not be playing again.
Toe injury.
Yeah, that's a loss on that defensive line.
It is.
He doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but when he's in there, he's played pretty well.
Yep.
We haven't even talked about the Christian Kirk thing. We saw that for precautions yesterday. Got into a car accident. A hit and run. Woman he got in the accident with tried to run away from the scene. He had to chase her.
That's unbelievable.
Hit and run is one of the worst things you can do.
It absolutely is.
Anyway, you can cast your vote in today's Sanderson Ford poll question. It's on the front page right now of ArizonaSports.com. Expecting some sappy, like, memories by Barbara Streisand or something. Today's the last day for Andy Greenberg as a regular member of Bickley and Murata and 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station and Burns and Gambo because he does the afternoons updates as well. Andy.
Yeah.
It's a bittersweet day, isn't it?
It is. It is. But, you know, maybe I'll show up on holidays. You can hear me then.
So what are you gonna be doing now? Anything you want to share with the audience or no?
I'm going to have a baby in about a month and a half. And
I didn't even know you were pregnant.
Yeah,
you're not even showing.
You're not even showing,
I know,
dude.
Right? It's amazing.
Well, congrats.
So to prepare for that, had to move on.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
I think there's a
stellar broadcaster, my man, even though we like to poke fun at you.
A quintessential Andy Greenberg moment had to be your unveiling of your thoughts on Derek Jeter's career. Do you think you will ever live that down?
No. No, never. And people remind me of that constantly on social media.
I wanted to use this opportunity to see if you had, like, any other, since this is it, you know, you're on your way out.
Or just actually give him some airtime. For once, let him live up to his nickname. He gets like 30 seconds, or he used to with Doug and Wolf.
Yeah, but I'm going to give him the opportunity. Do you have any more of those controversial sports opinions that you'd just like to unload forever?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few here. You guys ready?
Okay.
Yes.
This is my airing of grievances. Festivus has come early. The first one's not sports, but I'm still going to say it. I can't stand any bar or restaurant that plays any of the three following songs. Don't Stop Believing by Journey, the worst song of all time. Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond and Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. This one's my old man get off my lawn complaint, and I guess someone consider it sports. I don't understand why people are obsessed with esports and watching other people play video games, because not being able to play and having to watch people is the worst part of playing video games.
Wait a minute. Wait.
I agree with him on that.
I don't disagree with you either, but how old are you, Andy?
I'm 32.
Okay.
When I was in college, if I'm playing Madden with my friends and then I lost, the last thing I'd want to do is just sit there and watch two other people play until it was my turn
again. Oh, I know. It's the worst. All right, these are good. I like where you're going with this.
What else you got? We got some quick hits here. We're going to first go with the non-sports thing. Watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, everything from the melon family, terrible. All of it.
Oh. I totally agree with you, too, on that.
Hold on. I'm actually sorry you're leaving. No, time out. I feel what you guys are saying about honeydew melon. It sounds better than it tastes, but cantaloupe is... Yeah. Cantaloupe is amazing.
No, it's not.
It's amazing.
No, it's not.
The whole flashing your light on your cell phone at a sporting event thing, that's really stupid. The Cardinals held on to Carson Palmer for 2 years too long, and nobody wanted to admit it. Somebody here, Doug, tried to convince me that all 32 GMs would disagree and gladly put him on their roster in 2017. The Padres are going to replace the Diamondbacks as contenders in the NL West next season and will be there for quite some time. Hazen is building from the very bottom up. And remember, if you don't like losing next year, this is just Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa's fault. Feels like Kevin Sumlin and Noah Mazzoni never watched any 2017 tape on Khalil Tate, and they're destroying his college career. Sean Miller is innocent. And one grapevine rumor that nobody else can confirm only set our program back a year and a half. U of A basketball will never die. Bear down forever. And finally, I still cannot get over everyone's love affair with everybody's favorite overrated New York athlete, Eli Manning.
Good job, Andy.
You had me until you went downhill after the melon comment, quite honestly.
No, I thought that was very good. That was very well done, man.
The man's got a lot of opinions.
And you're going to miss it, man, because you feel it. You got it in your blood. You know, we wish you the best, Andy.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, on the
new addition to your family. Best of luck to whatever it is you're doing.
Thanks.
Away from radio.
I appreciate
we'll
it, guys.
We'll miss you around here, Andy. Thanks, man.
I'll still be on social media tweeting my unpopular opinions. So
I'm sure you will.
Andy will still be on the radio making fun of you. So
sounds
it's all good.
So nothing's going to change.
Some things will never change. It's a Football Friday NFL headline straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata. We're live at the AT&T store grand opening in Chandler on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.